Alone in the Sing the Faith hymnal number 2162. Let us remain seated as we sing together. By grace we have been saved by faith. It is not of our own doing. It is a gift from God. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, for in Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. They weren't set up. So we'll have to just do one.
Wafama, no, Wafama, Iradeno, Niño mae yesise nina fiera dino. Ase da foria ese ofaman. Ase da ka o nyame nyame a one ye wo. Niño mae ya o ye ye wa. Niño mae yesise nina fiera dino. Ase da foria ese ofaman. In your mind, yeah,
our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another, and we certainly have much to celebrate in having the Ghana Choir back together again after many travels and challenges. Let us pray together in lifting up our joys and concerns.
I just want to thank everybody with their prayers for my niece passing. And I just, I'm still asking for prayers for my brother and my sister-in-law because they are so worried and I don't know how to describe it because the whole thing don't make sense if you think about it. So please pray for us. Thank you.
I'd like prayers for the family of Dot Chase. She died peacefully in her sleep Wednesday morning at 94. She was in the pool with me doing water aerobics a week ago. So she was an amazing woman and a real Christian woman. But her family has gathered from all over the country. And just pray for the family of Dot Chase.
I'm asking for prayer for my father-in-law. He had fallen, had a bad fall, and he was in the hospital almost for the week. And he will be in rehab for a while. He's 93 years old, so his name is Paul. So please pray for him.
I'm back. We are back. thank you all for your cards, your prayers, your visiting us at home. There were some dark moments, and I just felt your presence with me through the multiple hospitalizations. just to let you know a little bit about what occurred. Before I went into surgery, the doctor said I had the heart of a 25-year-old. It was just some other problems. And when I told my daughter that, she said, well, what condition was that 25-year-old? and I have to say now, what does it feel like? And it's sort of difficult to say what it feels like. The only thing I can say, it's like if you've ever been at a stoplight and a Harley Davidson comes up right next to you, and this low rumble is just right there, and you feel it, and your car is shaking because of the motorcycle next to you. That's what it feels like right now. There's quite a bit of difference between what it was and what it is now. I don't know whether I can hear my heart or feel it at night when I'm in bed, but there is quite a bit of difference between what was and what is. But the most important thing I want to say is that thank you for your support and your encouragement and your prayers. There are so many people from this congregation that just expressed your care and concern to both of us. We just won't forget that. It really is. It continues to be very meaningful. The other joy that we have is that tomorrow is my birthday and it's our anniversary, 24th anniversary, and we get to celebrate that. And thank you very much.
Hi, I'd like to ask prayer actually for myself. I'm facing a big employment question. My contract with my nonprofit is up the 24th of August. And due to lack of funding, they're not able to offer the salary that they had projected. So I'm looking for employment right now and trying to decide, do I move back home? Do I stay here? I'd been looking at employment abroad. So I'm continuing to look for employment in the area, and I'm also looking for housing because my lease is up the end of August. So I'm hopefully looking for a month-to-month thing as well. So just a lot of life events happening at one time.
I would like prayers for my father and mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was moved to a nursing home last week, and Ralph is unable to be with her, so he's very agitated and needs your prayers to help him through his separation from his wife.
I need prayer for my mother. She's not too well. Thank you.
Prayers for Beatrice.
I have a joy to share. My friend Karen Veith is with me today. Karen is traveling all of the states east of the Mississippi, trying to see every national park that she can. This is a three-month trip, and she chose to stop and visit with me. Karen is from my former church in Norkirk Presbyterian in Carrollton, Texas.
My sister, my twin sister, and brother-in-law are coming up on their 10th anniversary. And so they are in Alaska right now on a cruise. So just safe travels for them, for Mark and Sarah Arblaster. But even more prayers for my older sister, who is taking care, and my brother-in-law, who are taking care of their two children for 10 days.
Wow.
Who don't have children of their own. So it's a big endeavor for them.
I'd like prayers for the United Parish at Fall River.
Asking for prayer, my cousin has been hospitalized for years and now he passed away. And we're waiting for his mother and father to come over for the funeral. So I need a prayer for the wife and
I want to say thank you for this week
and the Thursday. I talked to my neighbor. I have problem my back. She came to pray for group. I said, pray for me. Now my back is good. I don't have pain. Now I have him, and I need pray for my son. My son is not working. I need to pray, please. Thank you.
John gets two today.
I knew there was something I was forgetting. So I met with Chin and Dee Dee from the congregation last night. Chin is on her way to China now. She left at 4:30 in the morning. And then Dee Dee is leaving on Tuesday, so if we could just pray for Journey's mercies.
And just a joy that's related to that. So this last Friday was our last ELF, which is the English Learners Fellowship for the summer. We'll resume in September, but for those of you who don't know, it's a great group of 8 to 12 men and women from several different countries, and we study the Sermon on the Mount together and learn English together, and Dee Dee and Chin were a part of that group for quite some time, so. I'm really getting my exercise today.
Prayers for Kwame, travels, messes, he's coming home Wednesday night.
All right, anyone else?
Jade, I have a special prayer. Please keep in your thoughts and prayers the family of Mike Kelly, whose grandfather just recently died, and Mike Kelly and all the Kellys are good friends of the Dannenfelsers, and there are many, many of us. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power, for you have created your world and called it good. You call forth good in all of us, redeeming, refining, and setting us forth to be a blessing in your name. Guide us as we pray, as we seek to be faithful to that call, not only in our own families and relationships, but unto the ends of the earth. May your spirit move in the midst of places near and far to show forth your love, your encouragement, your hope. We pray for our world, for all places of pain and destruction, of grief and loss, particularly in those places known to us. We continue to pray and seek your healing hand to be upon the Ajovu and Ajimang families, for the families of Dot Chase, for Vivian and her family, for Mike Kelly and his family. We pray, O Lord, for those who are in need of your healing and strengthening presence in these days, for Judy, for my Aunt Donna in surgery this Tuesday, for Elena's father-in-law, Paul, for Ralph and Myra, for Beatrice, for Denise's son, for those that are named and unnamed in our midst as well. We come to you this day, O God, with joy. For those who are in our midst this day, who have been absent from us from before, we give thanks for your healing in Lee and in Monica, for the strength that you have given them, for the love that has surrounded them, and particularly as they celebrate Lee's birthday and their wedding anniversary tomorrow. We give thanks for that return. We give thanks for the opportunities to be in travel and in a different pace of life in this season. Particularly, we thank you this day for Karen's visit here with Cheryl, for the opportunity that they have to reconnect from past histories together. We praise you for healing signs for Rebecca in her long journey of the bone marrow transplant. We give thanks for Mary, for Mark and Sarah's opportunity to celebrate their anniversary and pray for strength for their aunt and uncle in this care for children in these days. We thank you for the Tompkins surprise visit to us this day, and for your grace in walking with the Backman family through these years of study here to our new Dr. Backman in the house. We give thanks for the ways in which you call forth our gifts in this time, and for the gifts of all who have brought them through the years to the ministry of this church. We pray your blessing on all those in transition in these days. May you answer prayers as you have answered so many before. Particularly this day, we lift up to you John and his search for new position and housing and direction for his life. We praise you for bringing Chen and Dee Dee to us in these brief months with us, for the ministry of ELF that reaches beyond our walls to people to study, to learn, to grow in fellowship together. We give thanks for the opportunities that you have brought to Kwame in this summer, but we give even greater thanks that he's returning home to us on Wednesday. We ask your blessing upon him as he moves forward in where you are calling his immense gifts into life and ministry. We pray for our youth in these final weeks of summer, in these days, that those might be recreative and restoring, renewing as they prepare for new directions. We pray for churches in our presbytery, particularly this day, we lift up to you, United Parish. Day by day, O God, you lead us into new life. You show that forth in the blessings of each moment. Help us to know and to trust that promise, to be your disciple in your ways alone as we seek to expand your love to all people, whatever their life circumstances. Through Christ, we pray in the prayer he taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are invited forward to meet with the Reverend Doctor for the message today. Here, you get a microphone too.
I need this?
Yes, you do.
All right. Let's go, folks. Come on up. Come on up. I'm new, but I love you. Oh, my gosh. It's my granddaughter. Maddie. Now, Pastor Chris, this morning I was going to wear my robes with the jacket underneath and my stole, okay? But Pastor Chris said all I had to do was bring my stole, and I just do anything that Pastor Chris tells me. Now, can you tell me now what this is?
A scarf.
It's a scarf? Well, that's, yeah, okay, it's kind of like a scarf. What is it?
Scarf.
It's a scarf, okay. You can let it be a scarf, but I wear it as a stole. And see all the different colors? And what does that remind you of? Does it remind you of anything? For example, sometimes when it's raining and this storm and it's dark, a rainbow, exactly. Now, I'm going to show you something. This is called a crystal, all right? And it comes from Germany, but it was made here and made into a crystal in Rhode Island. But I want you to look in here and see if you can. Can you see what's in there?
Green and pink stuff.
There's green and pink stuff in there?
Uh-huh.
green and blue?
It's like a rainbow.
It's like a rainbow. You want to take a look at that? Blue and green and red? It's like a rainbow.
Like a rainbow.
I got something going, folks. Ready? Pink and yellow, green, blue. Can you see what's in there? That's okay. Pink, yellow, green, blue, like a rainbow?
Yeah.
Yes, I thought so. Now, in a little while, I don't know where you're going to be here, but there are some friends from Presbyterian Promise, okay? And they're going to tell you about what their mission is. And one of the symbols for Presbyterian Promise, right, is a rainbow? Right? Okay. And they'll tell you even more about what the rainbow means. But a rainbow, when you think about it, it means that God loves and promises to always love all of his children. So anytime that you see a rainbow in the sky, what are you going to think of? You're going to think of God, but what more are you going to think of? That God loves, he loves all of you. Every single, all of his children, everywhere. All right? How about rainbows? Rainbows are high in the sky, and when you see a rainbow high in the sky, you're going to think about what? It'll go around, but it also says, saying, God is saying to us, I love. In the sky, and God loves all of us all the time. Okay? Good job, you folks. See ya.
There is childcare between ages 3 and 3rd grade downstairs. The family room is open upstairs for anyone who has children younger than that that might need a little moving around space during the worship service.
Morning. Our Old Testament lessons are taken from Psalm chapter 45 and Jonah chapters 3 and 4. I will start with Psalm chapter 145, verses 1 to 8. It can be found in your Pew Bible, page 548. And large print Bible, page 714. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall lie your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The next reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. And I'm going to read through chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. That can be found in your Pew Bible on page 811. and last print page 1054. Verse 10. When the Lord saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city, made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was thin and asked what he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "It is right for you to be angry about the bush." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perish in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also men and animals?" The New Testament lesson is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 20 and large print page 26. Excuse me. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went up early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard when he went out about 9 o'clock. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay." Excuse me. "Beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last work only hours, and you have made them equal to us who have borne and burden after day in the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, Frank, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with my belongings? With what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
I throw my hands up in the air sometimes, and I'm just so glad to be back. And I certainly, I know that you know that I know that you know I know what a pleasure it is to be back. I was telling some friends before, as I was making the rounds, making sure I had some fans and friends here, that I am older, more gray. Some more aches and pains I'm feeling today, and maybe just a little bit wiser. But it's good to be back at dear old Providence Press, where the men are handsome and sensitive, caring and loyal, They do the dishes and the laundry. And we're the women, are loving, compassionate, strong. And they pick up their clothes after them. The children here, I know, are beautiful, obedient, study hard, clean their rooms, and cut the lawn. It's great to be here. I have many fond memories, and one of the ones, when I was here as an interim, I'm getting old enough now that I'm forgetting time. But right here, Jesse, who was just a lot of fun. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations together of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, and may thy providential, just, loving word break through and make some sense of these words. And to thee be the honor, the glory, and the praise forever and ever. Amen. All right, folks. What's up with Jonah? It's like God coming to tell me, or some of you, all right, Dick, I want you to go to Washington and tell those folks, both those candidates, those parties, to stop spending so much money on negative ads. There's jobs and health care, and let's get moving. Oh, well, thanks, God, but I'm really busy. I'm a pretty busy guy, and I'm moving. I just can't go right now. Well, all right, how about then going to the Middle East? Oh, tell those folks, let's get it together. Let's give peace a chance. Well, God, that's really important, but I got tickets for the Bronx, in the Bronx, for the Yanks and the Sox tonight. And you know, I'm a Calvinist from the Bronx, so I'm not going to pass those up. Well, how about the food bank? Oh, yeah, that's closer to home. Yeah, you know that there are 20% of children in Rhode Island and 20% children in this country who go to bed every night without enough to eat or drink. 3 children are dying of starvation every 15 seconds in this world. I can't help. I have to go to a party. Let's try to get Dannenfelser. Let's try to get that 1% to kind of share a little bit with the 99. That we all have to sacrifice. Oh, I'm going to be on vacation. Oh, sorry, God. I also forgot there's a water fire tonight. How about going and giving some leadership to RVAC, which is the Rhode Island Veterans Action Council and Action Committee.
these stats, you probably already know them, but I want you to really think about this. We are about 150 days into this year, 2012. And there have been in country, in other words, in Afghanistan or Iraq, there's been a suicide of one of our armed service people every day. There are more now who are dying from suicides than from actual combat. War is hell anyway, so one doesn't make anything better than the other. I can't go to that either because my grandson's coming over tomorrow. He's going to help me. He's going to teach me how to run my new lawnmower. Besides, I have to pick him up at basketball camp. How about going to state college? Sandusky, Paterno. How about doing some protesting there on the cover-up and the complicity? Are college athletics too big to fail? How about Aurora, Colorado? Start to demonstrate, besides that terrible act of terrorism, demonstrate that we need some gun control? You may have the right to bear arms, but you don't have to go out and hunt people or even deer with a flat jacket. So as St. Augustine says, there's sin all around us. What are you going to do about it? All it takes for evil to flourish is for one man or woman to remain silent. God tells us to get involved. Micah, the prophet, tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to be humble?" As Christians, we are called to increase love of God and neighbor. We are called as to be a people of faith. We are called to love as a people of action, and we are called to act as a people of thought. But let's get back to the point now and to the Jonah factor. Jonah, that petulant, obstinate, recalcitrant, fearful. Well, I remember if I ever acted like Jonah, my grandmother would send me to the basement. And then if I kept acting like that, she'd say, "Richard, do you want me to come down there?" Well, Jonah finally goes. God is happy and glad. 120,000 people are saved. Jonah helps to save them by bringing the word. Jonah is mad and angry. What's with it, Jonah? God says, "Way to go, Jonah. You got involved, you helped bring around 120,000 people. Jonah, you are cool. You helped save them. What, Jonah, you're one of my main men." But you know what? I think about the Jonah factor, and I think about the Jonah factor in me. How about you? Do you have a Jonah factor? When glad things happen to people, even to our friends or people
When glad things happen to people who are friends of us, even family, friends who are fans, some people I don't like. Why is it at times, I've done it, why is it at times we rain on the parade of people who are experiencing gladness? Is that what the sin of pride is about? One of the seven diddlies, folks, and I've done them all. I'm going to tell you a little parable. It's about a boat. Now, it seems there was this terrible flood, and the clergyman, you know, the preacher's got involved, goes into the deep water to help anyone he could. Water gets to be above his waist, and it's still rising as he grabs an injured man and an injured woman. Rowboat comes by, and the guy yells, "Hey, let me save you too, preacher." But the preacher says, "No, take those two. God will save me." So the boat left them. Now, water's above the man's chin now, as he struggles to hold on to a mother and two children. Another boat comes by and the man says, "Hey, let me save you." "What?" He says, "Take the mother and two children. Save these poor people. God will save me." The boat left with the others. Well, finally, the water went over the preacher's head. He drowns, and he finally finds himself up at the pearly gates with old St. Peter. Now, St. Peter's getting ready to take our preacher friend in to meet the Almighty. So the preacher says, "Lord, you know," he finally got to see the good Lord. And he says, "Lord, I've lived a good life. I've fed the hungry. I've helped the homeless. I prayed often. I've led people to faith in you. But why didn't you save me in that awful flood?" God replied, "Don't blame me. And I'm really mad." Preachers, "I'm really mad at you, God." God replied, "Listen, don't blame me. I did everything to save you. Didn't I send you two boats?" Jonah. We've had part one and part two. Now I'm going to get to part three, which is, I'm going to tell you what the Jonah factor is. And what can we understand about ourselves because of the Jonah factor? Jonah, as we often do, experience the power and love of God in our lives. Right? Is there anybody in here who at some point has not experienced the power and love of God? In some way or another. Just like Jonah. But the experience doesn't change him. He's still complaining. He's still whining. He's still angry. He's still sniveling. And as my nanny used to say, "You know, Richard, misery loves company." Now, Jonah is so angry and so mad, he says, "I want to die. I want out. I want out of here." That'll really punish you, God. So he does the Yogi Berra, right? A deja vu all over again. He does it time and time again. Jonah is miserable. You know why he's miserable? Because he doesn't get his way. Jonah's acting like a brat, a spoiled child, or even worse, a spoiled adult. Because you see, Jonah wants to play God. Do we at times want to play God? Jonah wants God to rain down his wrath on Nineveh, destroying 120 people. The challenge, my brothers and sisters, as we, you know, it's not that we read the Bible, but it's how the Bible reads us. How does the Jonah story read us? One of the things that we have to do is to figure out the relationship between God's mercy and God's wrath. Our desire in any situation may not mirror what God desires. How do we understand God's wrath in relation to 9/11? How do we understand God's wrath in relation to 3 million Vietnamese people being killed? How do we understand God's wrath in relation to the assassination of bin Laden? How do we understand God's wrath in the sexual abuse of the children at Penn State? How do we understand God's wrath in relation to the slaughter of the innocents in Aurora, Colorado? So this is what I leave you with. Jonah's question to you, to me, that we have to wrestle with and pray about, challenges to check it out regarding what we say and what we do. How, if we know and experience the power of God's gracious love, this is it. How, if we know and experience the power of God's gracious, generous love and forgiveness, how can we ever, ever resent or complain about God's gracious, generous, powerful, plenteous love and forgiveness of others? No double standards, folks. For God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know us through and through and love us still and all. Thanks be to God. There, by the grace of Almighty God, go I. God's love abounds, is steadfast and plenteous. That's God's promise. That's the Christian promise. That's the Presbyterian promise that we're all God's children. As with God, promises made should forever be kept. Amen.